you.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. In today's show, we're going to continue providing updates around COVID-19. First, we'll hear Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's address to the country this morning.
Happy Sikh Heritage Month. Every day, Sikh Canadians make our cities and our neighborhoods stronger. And right now, when people need help most, you're stepping up once again. In Regina, you're delivering supplies to their neighbors, while in Mississauga, you're donating to the Siva Food Bank. It just goes to show that we are all stronger together, supporting each other. You are doing your part, and so many others are doing the same. See, our government has introduced a three-point economic plan to protect jobs, help people laid off, and support businesses. If you're worried about your job, we're helping your employer keep you on the payroll with the Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy. Later today, Minister Morneau, Minister Ng, and Minister Baines will provide an update about this 75% wage subsidy. But what I can say now is that it's going to be available for businesses, big and small, that are not publicly funded and have seen a 30% or more decline in gross revenues. That includes everything from bars and restaurants to charities and nonprofits. Applications will soon open through the CRA. Like I said on Friday, this money is for workers. Employers will need to attest that they're doing everything they can to pay the remaining 25% of people's wages. These are unprecedented times and will require us to pull together as a country and trust each other as Canadians. So there will be stiff and severe penalties for trying to take advantage of this system and of your fellow Canadians. These are unprecedented times. So we're taking unprecedented action. And while we put this measure in place, we're continuing to move forward on the other two prongs of our economic plan. To help business owners worried about rent or other bills, we've brought in new loans. To help people who lose their paycheck, whether they're freelance or have been laid off, we created the Canada Emergency Response Benefit. And on that front, I have some good news to share. Starting April 6th, you'll be able to apply for the Canada Emergency Response Benefit. A reminder, if you're getting the wage subsidy from your employer, you can't collect the CERB. It's one or the other. You can't get both of these benefits. For the CERB, you can register online at canada.ca. By selecting direct deposit, you should receive your payment within 3 to 5 days. If you can't apply online, don't worry. You can call the Revenue Agency for help over the phone. By mail, you'll get your check within 10 days. After applying, all you need to do is keep getting this benefit is check in every month to say that you're still out of work. And if you've already applied through EI, you're all set up. You don't need to do anything on April 6th. We're putting measures in place so we don't overload the system, but I can assure you that everyone will get their money. Later today, Minister Duclos and Minister Qualtro will have more details on this whole process, from eligibility to applying to getting your check. But the bottom line is this: we're getting you the help you need when you need it. We have a plan to protect jobs, to help those who've been laid off, and to support businesses that are having cash flow problems. And we're not done yet. We're going to keep working hard to make sure you're getting the support you need. This is the largest economic program in Canada's history. So I've asked the House Leader and the Deputy Minister to reach out to the other parties about bringing back Parliament. This must be a Team Canada effort. Governments of all orders across the country are stepping up to fulfill their responsibilities to Canadians. Canada hasn't seen this type of civic mobilization since the Second World War. These are the biggest economic measures in our lifetimes to defeat a threat to our health. These historic measures will support Canadians to stay home to defeat COVID-19. But the government alone cannot win this fight. We all have to answer the call of duty. This is service that most of us have never been called upon to do. We, each of us, have to live up to our end of the bargain. We must fulfill our collective responsibility to each other. Listening to public health rules is your duty. Staying home is your way to serve. So be smart about what you do, about the choices you make. That is how you will serve your country and how we will all serve each other. How well we do this right now determines where our country will be in 2 weeks or in 2 months. It's in our hands. It's in your hands.
Once again, that was Prime Minister Justin Trudeau talking about the latest steps the federal government is taking to help stop the spread of COVID-19. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to be hearing from Dr. Dina Hinshaw, Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. Yeah. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. If you're just tuning into the show, right now we're about to hear from Dr. Dina Hinshaw, Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health, talking about the latest measures the province is taking to combat COVID-19 at her press conference yesterday afternoon.
Before I provide an update on today's cases, I would like to begin by clarifying some of the updates I shared yesterday. I indicated an individual had died at Edmonton's Rosedale facility. This man, who was in his 80s, passed away in the hospital. Rosedale is an independent seniors facility supported by home care. The resident who passed away was independent and did not receive care. He had not been at Rosedale since March 17th, and at this time, no other resident or Rosedale staff member have been identified as having COVID-19. I had also indicated that Edmonton Shepherd's Care Kensington had 6 active COVID-19 cases. This information was inaccurate and was clarified for public health officials shortly after my availability. Their number remains at 4, as had previously been reported. We took immediate steps to correct these inaccuracies in published information to ensure Albertans continue to have the most accurate information possible. I have also been in contact with Rosedale and apologized for this error and any concern this may have caused for residents, families, or staff. Throughout the pandemic response, public health officials and ministry staff have worked to provide the most accurate and timely information we have available. Sometimes we may clarify previous statements or update Albertans when new information becomes known. We will continue to refine reporting to ensure information is accurate in my daily updates. I welcome the ongoing opportunity to provide new information to Albertans to help them understand the impact of our collective pandemic response. I would now like to provide an update on cases in Alberta. In the last 24 hours, we have confirmed 64 new cases of COVID-19, bringing the total number of cases in Alberta to 754. This number of 754 includes 77 cases involving healthcare workers, including staff and continuing care facilities. The vast majority of these cases were returning travelers or participants at the Bonspiel that I have previously talked about, not cases that were acquired while they were providing care. We continue to refine reporting for healthcare workers, and we will report new information as it becomes available. Sadly, I was just informed of an additional death reported in Calgary Zone at McKenzie Town Long-Term Care. On behalf of all Albertans, I convey condolences to this individual's family. This is another tragic case of COVID-19 at its worst. We suspect up to 75% of all of the 754 cases that I talked about, our total in Alberta, are the result of community transmission. This is concerning. Alberta Health is tracking outbreaks in three facilities at the moment: Mackenzie Town Long-Term Care and Care West Glenmore Park Centre, both in Calgary, and Shepherd's Care Kensington and Edmonton Zone. Updates on confirmed case numbers at these outbreaks will be provided tomorrow to ensure we have the most accurate information available. These outbreaks remain worrisome. We know seniors and those with chronic health conditions are at greatest risk of severe illness related to COVID-19. We must all continue to do our part and follow the public health orders that are in place to save lives. Following the public health orders, though, does not mean we can't continue to support each other or to help the most vulnerable. Albertans are known for this generosity. Organizations like Alberta Food Banks and Meals on Wheels still need Albertans' support. I encourage healthy Albertans to give of their time where possible and with proper attention to physical distancing and hygiene requirements. Albertans can also help by donating blood through Canadian Blood Services. I understand that donations have declined, and we still need blood to help Albertans who are suffering through other health conditions. Canadian Blood Services has taken safety measures to ensure that their staff and their donors are protected in this time. We are all in this together, and now more than ever, kindness matters. In the coming days, we will be putting together some guidance on how community organizations and not-for-profits can continue to work while keeping their staff, volunteers, and communities safe. Even if you are not able to volunteer, there are things you can do to help others get through this. Reach out to friends, family, and neighbors who may be struggling. Even small gestures can go a long way. Last night, I read about someone who was out on their balcony shedding a few tears, and a neighbor from another balcony overheard and called out, "It's going to be okay, I promise." Or how a Calgary flower shop, despite having to close, donated flowers to help brighten the day for residents and employees of a continuing care facility. Or a wardrobe department of a filming company that was sewing hospital gowns in Calgary. Every day, I am overwhelmed by the compassion and generosity shown by Albertans. These small acts of kindness are making things a little bit brighter during these difficult times. During this time of necessary physical distancing and self-isolation, it is important that we still stay socially connected. Last week, I joined Premier Kenney for a telephone town hall with religious and faith leaders in the province. This provided an opportunity for discussion about the many religious commemorations just around the corner. Several leaders shared their own ideas on innovative ways to deliver services, such as through webcasts, teleconferencing, texting, and social media. All demonstrated an understanding of mass gathering restrictions and a willingness to reach their faith communities to offer ongoing support and fellowship. One Central Alberta church has decided to offer Easter services as a drive-in where families can listen to the service from the safety and comfort of their own cars. We must continue to find new ways, innovative ways, to connect with one another while being physically separated. This is true for families and friends who are planning to celebrate upcoming religious holidays such as Easter, Passover, and Ramadan. Albertans should be planning to celebrate virtually, not having large gatherings, and even avoiding smaller gatherings outside of their immediate household. The aggressive public health measures we've put in place are critical to protect the health of Albertans. We are all in this together, and each of us must do everything we can to flatten the curve and keep Albertans healthy.
Once again, that was Dr. Dina Hinshaw, Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to be hearing from Premier Jason Kenney on Alberta's investment in the Keystone XL pipeline.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
No.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. We're about to hear from Premier Jason Kenney talking about Alberta's investment in the Keystone XL pipeline from his press conference yesterday afternoon.
Today, Alberta is taking control of its economic destiny. We are acting decisively to create jobs, build a major pipeline, and grow our economy, all but through an important decision that we're announcing today. During a very tough time, we're launching a major project that gives Albertans a real reason for hope. Hope that we'll get through this crisis together and come out through the other side stronger than ever. Today, we're taking action that looks beyond COVID to a better future for Canada's energy industry and everyone who depends on it. The government of Alberta is launching a partnership with TC Energy in a bold project to retake control of our province's economic destiny and put it firmly back in the hands of the women and men who own our natural resources, the people of Alberta. This is a big deal that will create thousands of jobs. It will help Alberta and Canada to recover more quickly from the brutal economic impact of the COVID-19 global recession. It will strengthen North American energy security against hostile foreign powers, and it will ensure that the Canadian oil sands, the largest single reserve on earth of oil within a free market democracy, will continue to be a stable, reliable, responsible source of energy for Canada, the United States, and the world. This is not a time for timid leadership. Albertans are going through a time of real adversity. We've been hit hard by the worst public health crisis in over a century, and we're doing everything within our power to limit the spread of the coronavirus and to save lives. At the same time, our economy is undergoing the largest contraction it has seen since the Great Depression, and we have seen hundreds of thousands of layoffs. On top of it all, our biggest industry has been hammered by the lowest energy prices in decades, in part because of the reckless Russian OPEC price war. We are coping with these huge challenges after 5 years of economic stagnation. So I know that all of these things, when you put them all together, can seem overwhelming to people. But please remember that we Albertans are a resilient people. We have overcome trying times in our past to go on to build one of the freest, most prosperous and generous societies on the face of the earth. Together with the national government, we are supporting families and employers facing financial stress right now. And following the pandemic, we will launch a bold economic recovery package. That plan will accelerate the diversification of Alberta's economy, but it will also ensure a future for our largest industry, because when we get through the crisis and the global economy moves back to growth, it'll be more obvious than ever that the world needs a reliable, democratic, major source of energy. But that will only happen if our energy has access to world markets. In other words, it will only happen if we get pipelines built. We cannot wait for the end of the pandemic and the global recession to act. There are steps that must be taken now to plan for and to build our future. Steps that are focused on jobs, the economy, and on pipelines. Today, we are moving forward with a project that is essential to our economic future. I am pleased to announce that the government of Alberta has finalized an agreement with Calgary-based TC Energy Corporation to invest in the completion of the Keystone XL pipeline. The government of Alberta is making a $1.5 billion equity investment in Keystone XL this year, along with a $6 billion loan guarantee next year. This agreement marks the culmination of 6 months of negotiations and rigorous vetting of the agreement by government officials and industry experts. I'd like to thank in particular my Chief of Staff, Jamie Huckabee, for his relentless work on this critical issue, and Adrian Begley of the Alberta Petroleum Marketing Corporation, and everybody who's contributed to bringing us to this day. This agreement will kickstart immediate construction on the pipeline with the goal of increasing delivery of oil sands crude to American markets by 830,000 barrels per day. Our goal is to complete the project and commission operations by the summer of 2023. We have shipper commitments in place to operate at full capacity from 2023 through to 2037. Our goal is to sell Alberta's equity stake at a profit And our expectation is that KXL will lead to higher prices as well as increased volumes of oil sands crude production, generating at least $30 billion in increased royalties over 20 years for Alberta taxpayers. Let me repeat that. We project that this project, once fully achieved, will help us to generate an additional $30 billion in revenues for Albertans to support programs like healthcare and education and to maintain our standard of life. In other words, this is not some make-work project, although it will make a lot of work. It is a solid bet that will produce a handsome return for Albertans, and it will rescue the future of our energy industry and power our country out of the COVID economic crash. The risks are obvious, including the unpredictable impacts of the COVID crisis on labor and material supply, and the more familiar hurdles of regulation and litigation. And TC Energy has a great deal of experience in dealing with risks of that nature. But we believe the timing is as good as it can be for successfully completing the project on time and on budget. The current crisis calls for dramatic action now to create jobs and jolt-line our economy back to life in the future. That's exactly what this project will help us to do. Starting tomorrow, shovels will be in the ground and hiring will begin immediately. This year alone, the project will create, we estimate, 1,400 direct high-paying jobs here in Alberta, 1,200 in Saskatchewan, and 300 elsewhere in Canada for a total of nearly 3,000. The project will generate a further 12,000 indirect jobs, at least in Canada, including 5,400 here in Alberta. These are real jobs, good-paying jobs, right now when they are so desperately needed, that will provide financial security for thousands of Alberta families who would otherwise be unemployed and probably dependent on government support at this time. I want Albertans to know that today's announcement is not in any way a distraction from our focus on the fight against the COVID-19 virus. We've been working on this deal for over 6 months, and it was all but complete before the outbreak of the coronavirus. Construction season starts now, and we cannot afford to lose another season. We cannot afford not to act right now. Too many jobs are at stake. Our post-COVID recovery is at stake. The Canadian and American energy independence is at stake. So today's announcement is a bold declaration of our confidence in the future of our energy industry and the future of Alberta's economy. For years, foreign-funded special interests have campaigned to landlock Canadian energy, and too often they have succeeded. They succeeded in delaying Keystone XL for years. And now OPEC and Putin's Russia are trying to end North America's vital energy industry by surging supply while demand crashes. So today's announcement is Alberta's response to all of them. To the Russians, the Saudis, the special interests who have spent hundreds of millions of dollars campaigning against the responsible development of Canadian energy, our message today is that you will not succeed. We will not allow the world's worst regimes to have a monopoly on global energy markets. We will not surrender to the campaign to landlock Canadian energy. We, as a province, as a people, will do whatever it takes to defend our vital economic interests, and that is why we are making this announcement today. Alberta has endured 5 years of tough economic times, in part because of a lack of market access for our energy. We've allowed others to restrict our freedom to compete, to grow, and to prosper. This investment in Keystone XL is a bold move to retake control of our province's economic destiny and put it firmly in the hands of the owners of the resource. When demand revives, there will be a need for the vast energy resources of Alberta. And there will be a greater need than ever for Alberta to get our energy to markets. We have the third largest reserves on earth, but there is a very limited future for our industry and the tens of thousands of Canadian jobs that depend on it, actually the hundreds of thousands that depend on it, unless we get new pipelines built. No major investment is going to come back to our energy sector without it, without pipelines. No massive job creation without it, no significant growth, and a very limited economic future without pipelines.
Once again, that was Premier Jason Kenney talking about Alberta's investment in the Keystone XL pipeline. If you're looking for more information, make sure you head to the Mix News page. That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure you tune in to Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon. I'm Steph Seidel, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.